Welcome back, everybody. I know it's been a while since I've been on last. I've had a lot of stuff going on recently, jobs and obviously COVID, and so it's just kind of taking its toll. So I apologize for the delay. I'm going to promise you a part two, and so we're going to get to this today. So welcome back to my podcast. I'm here with my dogs, Pancake and Noodle. They're both kind of just relaxing and sleeping. They had a long day today. We already took them outside and everything, so they're just relaxing, and which is pretty much just what I'd like to be doing. Unfortunately, I got work here in a little while, so we'll see if I could actually relax. Now, I did want to take a moment, just to remind you that this podcast here is going to be going into a lot of historical stuff, and a lot of it's going to be different than what you've heard in your past history classes and your, what you might have learned in school itself. And I encourage everybody here to keep an open mind. Now, I'm not saying that I'm the perfect person, for this. I'm not an expert by any means, but I do know that what we are taught in this country is very different than what reality is. And it took me so long to see this, but really, if you look back at text, everybody that we talk about, everybody that we portray as a good person, we never talk about their flaws. And that's an issue because people are people. People are flawed. There is no human alive that is completely perfect. Everybody is going to have their flaws. Now that's not me saying that we need to turn around and condemn these people either. People acted the way that they acted per their time period, but it means that we need to recognize these people as people. They are just humans. We need to stop idolizing. We need to stop putting these people on a pedestal and making them holier than holy. We need to stop glorifying these people as if they are, the saviors of our country, when in reality, a lot of the things that they did, they might have had selfish intention. They may have not had fully believed in the cause that they were actually pushing. And that's the important thing to know if you're going to continue to listen to my podcast. I'm not here to say, everything about this country is awful and everything about the people that we've talked about, that we will talk about, is awful. But we need to recognize that these people are people and they are humans and they are flawed. And we need to break that mentality of, these people in our history books have no flaws. And that's honestly been the way that's been portrayed for years. And it's, in my opinion, part of what's contributing to the issues that we're seeing in this country now, the current events that we're seeing in this country now. So without further ado, I just want to continue our talk about Christopher Columbus and some of the founders and discoverers of the Americas. Now, Christopher Columbus, we talked about how he came to the Americas, and he wasn't even really the first discoverer. There were people who were here before, and they were the Native Americans, but it wasn't even just them. Christopher Columbus was, in a better way, he wasn't the one that discovered America. He was the last discoverer of America. He was the last one that we will credit for discovering America. Everybody that came after him were considered settlers of America, which is also a flawed term considering they didn't really settle the land as somebody else had already settled it. But actually, it's something I learned pretty recently is that he wasn't one of the first. We also had some Spanish explorers come into Florida, well before. And I knew this before as well. They came to Florida well before Columbus is there in search of the Fountain of Youth. And but some of these Spanish explorers, they stayed there. And, we talk about, and we'll get into this in a later topic, but we talk about slavery and how one of the mentalities of slaves was that they were okay with, the slaves themselves were okay with being in slavery, and that they were actually felt that they were better off there. And that was one reason why we justified it, is because as white people, we believed that they were better off as slaves than they would have been free people. But this is clearly evident by actions that were taken against the Spanish explorers in Florida when their slaves revolted and actually fought against their owners and then left the owners and went to live with the Native Americans nearby. So, I mean, again, this is just talking about how even from the very beginning, slaves didn't want to be slaves. That's a lie that's perpetuated in a lot of books. And that's a lie that was perpetuated back then to just justify and maintain this oppressive state. Now, Columbus, he came to the West Indies. You know, he came to what was called the West Indies, but it's really the Caribbean islands. You know, he came to the Bahamas and some other islands in that area. A lot of people say he wasn't a good person because of the fact that he raped and pillaged these villages. You know, he raped the people in the villages and he pillaged them and he enslaved a lot of the people. And I'm not saying by any means that he's a good person because of this, but one thing we got to keep in mind is that this is how things went back then. So he wasn't a good person. A lot of these things are morally wrong, but at the time, these were normal actions. You know, so he didn't do anything that was necessarily out of the ordinary at that time. So it's not condoning the actions, but it's recognizing that, you know, he wasn't an evil man for what he did because that was the normal thing at the time. So if we're going to say that he's evil, then we're going to be saying that all of Europe was evil. And I'm going to let that be up to you to decide. I have my own thoughts on it. I do think that there's a lot of flawed mentality that came out of the imperialistic ages that we saw from European countries. You know, the exploration ages saw a lot of immoral decisions being made by the colonizing countries. But, you know, like I said, at the time, that's not necessarily something that was out of the ordinary. So I'm not condemning him for that. My condemnation with Christopher Columbus and as a whole in our country is that we continually credit him for founding the United States, and in reality he never touched ground on North American soil. It was Central America. It was the Caribbean islands. It wasn't North America. He wasn't the founder of Americas. And like I said before, he wasn't even the first explorer to come over to the Americas. He just happened to be one of the first ones to come here and return to, you know, mainland Europe, to Spain there. And also, it was at a time where Europe and Spain and other countries were willing to then pursue colonizing these countries. So beforehand, explorers would come here. They would, you know, they came here, they touched ground, they stayed for a little bit, they went back, and that was it. But the countries there were, you know, not in a position either politically, financially, or maybe they just weren't interested at all in actually colonizing the land over here. And it wasn't until Columbus came here and then went back and told about the golds and the riches that he found here that these countries, Spain and many others, actually decided that, hey, it is actually worth it to come here and to start, you know, setting up colonies. And we are in a position now where we can financially and politically gain from exploring these lands and, you know, and taking a lot of these resources that were there. Now, you know, people claim that they traded a lot with the natives that were there to get their resources. And this isn't a complete lie, but it's a little bit misguided. So you're talking about a group of individuals who didn't really believe, you know, a lot of core beliefs of Native Americans was that the land itself and what came from the land wasn't actually anybody's to own. And so, you know, in Spanish people, the explorers would come over here and they would offer to buy the land, but yeah, that these Native Americans and such, and we'll see this again in North America, you know, they thought was, oh, they're getting wealth back. You know, they're getting weapons or clothes or anything like that in order to in exchange, all they're doing is giving up these things from the ground that's not even theirs to own. So, you know, to them, they thought they were getting a steal. But it was really, you know, the Europeans kind of taking advantage of the mindset of Native Americans. Another thing, you know, the Spanish came here to colonize, and a big part of the Spanish culture is the Catholicism that's there. You know, they had the Spanish Inquisition, among other things, but Catholicism is a major aspect of religions, the religion over in Europe. You know, Catholicism infiltrated almost every single government that's out there, and in some way played a role into the decisions that a country would make. So we have we would have people come here, and you know, they would want to spread their religion. Well, Native Americans in general, their religions tended to be a lot more vernacular, in a sense. Like it was tied more to the earth itself. You know, they prayed to gods, such as the sun, you know, gods of the sun, gods of the harvest, and you know, many other gods out there that they thought came from the earth and would benefit the earth. Now, Spanish came over here, and they pretty much said, "You're going to believe in Catholicism, or we're going to kill you, or enslave you, or you know, enact many atrocities on these individuals." And I don't know. I mean, I think we've all seen in this country the fact that mentality and, you know, different aspects of our life that we grew up on and we grew up learning, and they're so instilled in us that many times we don't actually, you know, it's very difficult for us to let go of these beliefs that we've had for years, you know, for our entire lives. But the Spanish expected these Native Americans to let go of those beliefs almost immediately. And if they didn't renounce their beliefs and accept Catholicism, then they would be often killed or enslaved, like I said. This intolerance is really probably the biggest atrocity of them all. You know, it's this intolerance that, you know, they come over here and they immediately expected people to adapt and to become one of, like, the European culture. And that's just not how it was. And that, you know, how it was there. And that's ultimately what led to a lot of pushback from these Native American groups. But the problem was that it wasn't just, you know, weapons like guns and cannons and horses and armor that these European explorers were bringing over. It was diseases as well, diseases that had never actually hit and that these Native Americans had never experienced before. And that's, these diseases are ultimately what wiped out the majority of the population. When you're fighting guns and armor with primitive weapons, because you've never had the chance to, you know, be exposed to things such as gunpowder. You know, you've never really had a need to build metal armor before to protect yourselves, because you haven't always been such a warring state, over in the, you know, Central America and the islands there. This is completely new to them, and there was no way that the Native Americans were actually going to be able to fight the Europeans that came. But they were misled as well. So when the Spanish, Hernando Cortez landed on the shores of Mexico and he encountered the Aztecs there, you know, they welcomed him into their city. They saw him almost as like a god. It was almost like fulfilling a prophet, and they welcomed him into his city. And what did Cortez and his men do? They turned around and said, you are lesser than us. You have to adapt in a culture, become a part of the European culture, believe in the European culture, believe in our gods. And the Aztecs wouldn't do that. But before they even had a chance to really fight, many of the men had been killed off by diseases brought over. And on top of that, like I said, their weapons didn't stand a chance against the Spanish. But the Spanish didn't just, you know, they probably could have wiped them out with their men alone, but instead they also went into neighboring tribes, tribes that had paid tribute to the Aztecs. People, you know, they felt like the Aztecs, you know, pretty much governed them, and they convinced them to fight against the Aztecs. So really they were pitting Native American against Native American, and then they would come in and clean out the rest of them. And this went on for ages. So, you know, our country itself, we've got two holidays named after individuals, Martin Luther King Day and Christopher Columbus Day. as a country, we need to get rid of this Christopher Columbus Day. There is no reason why we ever need to celebrate him. We could celebrate the Pilgrims because they were some of the first Europeans that came over and actually stayed in the Americas. We could celebrate some of the Spanish colonies that were in the South, you know, before the English came over. There's many people that we could celebrate who helped discover the Americas for the Europeans. And there's people that were already here before. So, you know, the Europeans didn't really even settle or discover America. So, but all of that is neglected by the fact that we are celebrating a guy who never actually touched land in the United States. We have an entire holiday named after a guy who never really had any influence on the United States. Many explorers after him were actually probably have heavier influences on the English coming over here and settling than anything else. You know, like I said, he would just happen to be the last first explorer per se. He was the last person to come over here before the Europeans actually started to take notice and realize that there is a financial and a political opportunity to be gained by settling the land that was over here, by coming over here and setting up colonies and, you know, taking the land from the Native Americans for use of their own. So I guess that's all I really had on this one, this particular recording. You know, it was a rather short one. I just kind of wanted to tie up some loose ends and explain why I disliked it. I am really interested in this topic, and with current events going on, you know, a lot of the next few are probably going to be more race related. So we'll go into how did the slave trade occur? Why is the slave trade that happened here in America, you know, the African slave trade, why is that so different than the Barbary slave trade that happened in Europe before, where millions of white people were enslaved, and possibly even more so than the African slaves that came over here? Why was the slave system that we set up here so dangerous for the future of America here? And why did the end of slavery not really actually indicate an end to real slavery? You know, there's a lot of things. I know that while the end of slavery here in America, you know, with Lincoln passing the Emancipation Proclamation, that ended the actual use of slave labor, but there were loopholes in that have been taken advantage of, especially in recent, you know, in the last century or so, which, while not exactly slavery to the same extent, it is a form of stripping the civil rights from individuals in our country. And I have a very big issue with this, and so we'll talk about that as well, and I'll leave that up to you guys, you know, on what your guys' opinion is, because I'm conflicted on it myself. But I think there is definitely one part of our criminal justice system that needs to be reformed for sure. I mean, there's a lot of things, but there's one part in and of itself that definitely needs to be changed. And so these are going to be some of our topics going forward. And I hope that you continue to join me. And if you ever have a thought, if you ever have something you want to bring up or talk about on here, by all means, leave a voice message. I'll try to check all the different, you know, places that this gets posted to see, you know, if anybody ever leaves anything. But don't just take my word for it. I encourage you to read books. I encourage you to get out there. If you have a conservative mindset, I encourage you to keep your mind open. Maybe read some books that have a liberal point of view, just to keep your mind, you know, challenged and going back and forth. I grew up Republican, and I've recently turned very, I wouldn't say very liberal, but definitely more liberal. And a lot of it has to do with just the way that I've been seeing humans treated in this country, and why I think it's important that, you know, we start instituting some change in and around. And I know that it's a very touchy subject right now. And coming from a white male, you know, it's a subject that, one, I am coming from a very privileged place to be able to talk about. But I think that my mindset has actually grown a lot over the years. And my biggest thing is I just encourage everybody to keep an open mind when, you know, listening and trying to learn things, because not everything is going to agree with you, and not everything is going to be wonderful to hear. But there's a lot of truth in this world that I think gets wiped away by the fact that white males have the power in this world. White males have have the power to change and erase history as they want, pretty much, because they are the majority. And that's just the way it is, unfortunately. So, you know, I encourage people to get out there, research, do their research, and, you know, read as much as you can, stay educated, and hopefully we can actually start to see some change in this country soon. All right. Thank you all for joining us. Pancake Noodle and I will try to be back on a weekly basis, but, you know, we'll clearly I haven't really stuck to that. So we're going to see how things go just going forward. But I hope that you tune in every now and then and actually, you know, follow up if you have questions and everything. Thank you. And have a wonderful day and stay safe out there.